Well, we want to get into the scriptures this evening, and thank you so much again for being here. And as I mentioned, I trust that every time we come to church, it's an event. I have a great longing for people to remember as they grow, and children grow up in church, and as you've heard testimony tonight, that they have fond memories and look back at how wonderful it was to grow up in a Bible-believing church where missionaries would come through and the Bible was open and singing was given and just good times were had and fun along the way. And one of those aspects is to keep the message of the gospel forefront, as we preached about this morning. But tonight I want to draw your attention to John chapter 4. And this is when Jesus sees the woman at the well. And I want to preach a message entitled Harvest Time. As we look at John specifically, John 4 verse 35, but we'll read a few verses up until then. Verse number 27, John chapter 4 verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pots and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Say not, we'll look at the text verse, say not, "There are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I want to preach for just a few moments about this subject, harvest time. And we've got the story of Jesus winning the woman at the well to himself, and she leaves her water pots and runs. And Jesus' disciples, you know the story, many of you have taught it in Sunday school or Bible school. The disciples are in town getting food and they're coming back. And as they apparently would have crossed paths with the lady, but she went into town to tell the men, "Come see us, this man that told me all things ever I did." And she is bringing people back to Jesus on verse number 29, you see. And Jesus sees the people coming out and he is moved with compassion. Now, folks, I'm going to have to be honest with you. There's a lot of times when I see people who are not like me, that don't value the things that I value, and they actually trample under feet the things that I hold up high. And there's often times I don't have compassion on them, not like I should. I have disdain for some of the things that they do. It angers me. But I don't always have compassion. But the Bible says that Jesus has compassion. He was moved with compassion as he saw those people coming out of the city to where he was. And I want to preach for just a few moments about this tonight. I want you to, as the scripture says in verse number 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we've had a wonderful night so far. We've got to rehearse some things that have been happening fun at the church. We got to hear from a young lady that grew up here at the church. Got to sing together, hear some others sing and fellowship. And Lord, we now come to this time. Would you please move on our hearts, we ask. Bless us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a reason the only thing the disciples could see was the food, not the crowd, because they stayed concerned about the physical needs. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, "I've got food to eat that you know not of." One of the disciples said, "Did somebody else bring him a sandwich, or did somebody bring him something that we didn't know about?" They were concerned about that. They were consumed with that, but they were worried about the physical and not the spiritual. What Jesus was talking about is, he says, "I've got things that are too good." If you're a parent in here, you know what it's like to forget to eat. You're a mom that worries about your kids and they're sick, and then somebody has to come and remind you to take care of your own physical needs because you're so consumed with what's going on right in front of you. You would go to your own peril not taking care of yourself because you're too concerned about somebody else. And Jesus tells his disciples, "I've got food to eat that you don't know anything about." He says, "My concern is for these people. I'm moved to compassion with these folks." Yet they still want to worry about, what's he going to eat? I think about this first point I'd like to give you from our text, verse 35. Number one, you've got to look. Jesus says, "Say not there yet 4 months into the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." You've got to look. You've got to do it intentionally. You've got to make sure that you are on purpose looking and seeing this world. You, then I, that get so upset about the way people live, my friend, listen, it's no surprise that people are living in the way that they're living because it's always going to be right. It's always going to be, I don't know if it's right, but it's always going to be the way that the world lives, like the world. We ought to have more concern about people that claim to be saved, about how they live, because as one preacher said, you can always count on the world to be the world. Don't get so upset about how people are living when they don't know Jesus Christ. What our concern should be instead is to introduce them to the Savior so that we can see Christ change them from the inside, because you and I both know that the only real change comes from the inside and it goes out, not the outside, to come in. I say, first of all, you've got to look, lift up your eyes. We've got to get our eyes on this world one more time. There was a time when churches across our nation had our eyes on the masses of humanity, and they saw that they were lost and undone without Jesus Christ, on their way to a devil's hell, and they decided to do something about that, to get the gospel through neighborhood Bible time and vacation Bible school and bus ministries and outreaches and missions that were there to feed the hungry but give food to the soul as well. I'm saying this evening that we've got to get back to a place where we look. Here's how sometimes I'll just confess my sin and you can choose whether it goes for you or not. Here's how sometimes I go through life, forgetting that there's a world that doesn't even know Jesus Christ. And you and I, we know the ramifications of that. It's not just that they don't have their best life now. It's that without Jesus Christ, they'll live forever separated from any bit of love of God that they've got to experience. You understand, to a person that's unsaved, this is as close to heaven as they'll ever get. I had somebody question me recently, as I get asked often, about why people that live wrong are getting to live it up, just like the Bible says that David asked. And I reminded that person of what I just told you. Remember, this is as close to heaven as they'll ever get unless they get born again. I'm trying to get us to see once again that there's still a need for the old church here, that we might get concerned about souls once again, that we would start getting buses filled up with people that need to come to Buffalo Ridge and hear the gospel. It's time for us to get on the job site and be the best missionary that we can be. It's time for us to lift up our eyes and look under the field, because the field hasn't gotten any better than it ever was, because we see that the world still needs Jesus Christ. I read a story years ago of a young person that applied, or not that young, but somebody equipped for a position in a big company, and he made it through several interviews. And it got down to the end, and he was being interviewed by one of the main directors of the company, and he was asked by this man if, he said, "You've got a wonderful resume, excellent grades all the way through graduate school and undergraduate." And he said, "Did you have scholarships?" "No." "Student loans?" "No." He said, "Did you have a dad did you have mom and dad then paid your way?" "So my dad died when I was one." He said, "How did you make it without debt?" He said, "My mom washed clothes for all these years and has taken in things and just done household chores for different people." He says, "You ever help?" And he said, "Mom always wanted me to study and do good, and said she was so much better at it anyways." And this director told this applicant, he said, "I want you to go home and I want you to look at your mom's hands." And the applicant did that night. His mom felt funny, and he looked at her hands, as that director, his hopefully future boss, told him to do. And he looked at those, and tears started coming down his face and dripping on his mom's hands, as he realized that he was where he was because of the great sacrifice of someone that loved him. The next day came, he went back to the final interview with the director that had told him to go with his mom. He said, "Tell me what you learned." And through tears, he recounted what he had thought last night. He said, "Well, I realized that without my mom, I wouldn't be successful. I wouldn't have finished what I started." He said, "I also realized that it's tough to get something done because it takes a lot of work." And he said, "I certainly appreciate the family that I have." That director ended up hiring that young person that was applying for that position. And he said this. He said, "I'm going to hire you because you're what I'm looking for. I'm wanting somebody who looks and sees what's around him." You know, we go through our lives not recognizing what's here. Oh, that's true. I could preach for an hour. I'm not going to, about you neglecting your family or you neglecting your spouse or neglecting what God has given you. We could talk about all that. We get our blinders on and we see very little. But specifically, I'm referencing the fact that this, you and I, live around a bunch of people who will not spend eternity in heaven with us. And tonight, I'm asking you to let it break our hearts one more time. I believe our churches did better some decades ago being soul conscious and realizing that there were people around us that were going to spend an eternity somewhere. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. Lift up your eyes. Look unto the fields. First of all, you've got to look up. Secondly, not only do you have to look up, but you've got to personally admit there's a need. Let me take you back to our text when Jesus told his disciples, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up," if we were a class, what's the next word? "Your eyes." Jesus didn't need to see the people coming out of town. That's what he said when he said, "Look under the fields, the white already to harvest." The people that lady was bringing out, the woman at the well was bringing out, were apparently coming their way. Jesus says, "Look, the fields are white already into harvest. There's people right here that need to be harvested. We talk about 4 months and then cometh the harvest, but look at this harvest right here. You're too concerned about food. You're too concerned about our belly. But what we should be concerned about is the harvest that's right there in front of us. And I want you to see, Jesus already knew what the harvest was. He already knew what the people needed. He knew every aspect of it, but what he needed the disciples was to do was to make it personal to them. And what I'm trying to see get us to do this evening is for not just me, not just a Sunday school teacher, not just somebody who works in the youth department, not just Brother Kyle or Brother Dan or Daniel or anybody. I'm trying to get us all to see that there are people that we're passing left and right. They come into our businesses. They work in the cubicles next to us. They work in the next unit over. They work in the next division over. And all of those people, mark it down, are going to spend an eternity somewhere. And I realize that we live in a blessed part of America, where many more people than normal probably know Jesus Christ because of our gospel influence here about the churches in our region. But don't be fooled into thinking that everybody on your floor, everybody in your department, everybody in your school is on their way to heaven, because my friend, still the Bible says that broad's the way that leads to destruction. And I don't like to report it, but as Jesus told the disciples that day, you're going to have to lift up your eyes. We're going to have to look. And then secondly, we're going to have to make it personal. If we don't make it personal, it will never get to the action phase. If we don't make it personal and we just always assume that, well, everything will take care of itself, it will never get to a place where we actually do something about it. You've got to lift up your eyes. Your coworkers needs something greater than you and I can give. But they need us to point them to Jesus Christ. Lastly, I give you this. Not only do you have to look, and not only do you have to make it personal, but you got to hurry. Look back in our text, if you would. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." White means they were ripe, they were ready. And there's been many a people that were ready to be saved if only somebody had had the spiritual presence of mind to reach out to them at that time. There are people, you could give testimony, many of you could as well, that they rejected you flat out when you asked them about the gospel, but things started happening in their lives. Death of loved ones, loss of job, promotion in a job, many different things happen that bring that person to a place where they would realize, I need to do something about eternity. Please don't be fooled when people say, oh, I don't care about all that stuff. It's easy to make big statements like that. You keep on praying. You keep on looking for an opportunity to witness to them, because my friend, you're going to have to hurry. When we lived in Middle Tennessee and same other places as well, but not too far from our house, there's big old cotton fields. They'd harvest that cotton with some combine type machinery, and they'd put that cotton in these big old bales, and then they had to pick them up on the back of big flatbed trailers or trucks. But those pods or whatever they're in would bust open, and those fields would just turn white because you could see that cotton. We lived in the Midwest for some time and served in Iowa for 3.5 years. And those combines would get in there to harvest that corn or soybeans, whichever rotation they were on. And you know, those combines would go in those fields, and they wouldn't come out of those fields until those hydrometers on those machinery would say that the moisture was getting too much, so they couldn't pick anymore. I'm talking about middle of the night. I'm talking about after dark, big old lights shining on there. That didn't matter to them. They kept on combining. Why on earth would they do that? Because they realized they only had a certain window to combine those crops. And if they missed that combine window, then the rains would come, and the fields, as it did happen oftentimes, the fields would get too muddy, and they couldn't get those big, massive machines in there, and they would just lose the crop. And so those farmers would know they don't just work a 9-to-5 or a 9-to-8 or a 9-to-9. They're working all the way around, having somebody else run their machinery while they go get some, get a little bit of rest and then come back. Why do they do that? They do that, my friend, because they know their time is short, and they've got to get that harvest in, or else time is going to be on their enemy, not their friend, and they'll miss part of the crop. And as Jesus tells the disciples on that day, he said, the fields are white already to harvest. And I'm trying to get us to see, I hope that the Lord is flashing some images of people in your mind, people that you work with, people that you go to school with, people that are on your street, and you're realizing that one of these days it's going to be too late to reach those people. And so we're going to have to get a game plan. You say, preacher, what kind of game plan is going to be? Well, any game plan is going to have to start off with prayer. Lord, I pray that you would convict them. Lord, I pray that you would burden them. Lord, I pray that you would make them have thoughts about their eternity. God, I'm praying. And then secondly, God, I'm praying that you are going to open up a door for me to get to talk to them. I'm saying this evening that Jesus said, you've got to look, and you've got to make it personal, and then you've got to hurry. Tonight, I'm asking us to lift up our eyes, and I want you to do a little survey this week of everybody that you come in contact with. We're not looking for workers or employees or employers. We're not looking for male, female. We're not looking for Democrat, Republican. We're not looking for friends or enemies. We're just looking at people. And I want you to know what is true about every one of those people. They're all going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's needful for us to get back to a place where we're aware everybody we pass has got an eternal soul. They'll live somewhere forever. Lift up our eyes. Look under the fields. They're white already to harvest. Dr. Oliver B. Green used to close the Gospel Hour Bible broadcast with, in that raspy voice for years of teaching, he'd say, Lord, save that soul that's nearest hell. And I want us to make that our prayer as well. Lord, save people that are close. But if we're going to get to that prayer, If we're going to get into that mode, first thing we're going to have to do is look, lift up our eyes, and see that there's a world that needs Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it seems as though our churches, through radio broadcasts and television, all that, it seems like we've gotten away from this urgency of reaching people with the gospel. It's not that we're saying everybody's okay, but we're really not saying much of anything. But tonight I've come to tell you, we're going to have to get serious again and look on the fields. Look under the fields. Lift up our eyes and see the harvest. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, it's hard to give an invitation. I hope that everybody, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, right now, that you would burden us all, this preacher specifically, to, Lord, quit passing people at Johnson City and Kingsport and around without realizing that there's an eternal soul, there's an eternal soul, there's an eternal soul, there's an eternal soul. Lord, I've gone too many days, too many weeks, too many months with really not paying attention. Help us to look under the fields. Lift up our eyes. Look once again. Now the invitation is simple, my friend. If you're like me and the Lord has convicted you, I've been convicted over under my own preaching. And I prepared the sermon, but I've been convicted while I'm preaching, that I'm not doing enough looking. I'm too busy going from one event to the next. I'm too busy seeing this person, that person, or the other person. I'm not looking for sinners. But I'm confessing it tonight to you and God. I want to look. And if you're like me, I'm trusting that you'll use your altar, your seat there, your pew, as an altar. And just pray where you are and say, Lord, help me to be soul conscious. Help me, dear Lord, to realize every coworker I have, every fellow student I have, every neighbor I have, every business associate I have, every person that I see, they'll spend eternity somewhere. That's where we got to start. And if you're here tonight and the Lord has burdened you like He's burdened me, I pray that you'll make some vows to Him. Say, Lord, I want to lift up mine eyes again. I trust that you'd do that. Right there where you sit. Say, Lord, I'm guilty. I haven't been looking like I ought. I believe we've been lulled to sleep in this wonderful area of the nation that we live in. There's so many good people that I talk to that, yes, I'm saved, and people, yes, I'm a believer, but my friend, that's not everybody. Oh, they need the Lord. Would you commit tonight, Lord, I'm going to start looking, I'm going to start watching. I've not asked you to do anything more than that right now. Just, Lord, I'm going to start watching. I'm going to start realizing that everybody's got an eternal soul. Now, here's the invitation beyond that. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, I told you that Jesus said the harvest is white already. That means it's not much longer left, and you, my friend, don't have much longer to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'd hate to go to hell from a Baptist church. And I pray if you're not sure you're saved, that you'd come down and let me, or Brother Kyle, or Brother Dan, somebody, take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. Don't leave this place without that. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Kyle will be standing right here in front of the pulpit. love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. If you're a lady, you'd have a lady take those pages of the Word of God, the Bible, and show you that. Maybe there's some other care or concern on your heart tonight that I didn't even mention, but you'd like to come pray. The altar's open for you. You're welcome to pray. Thank you so much. You may look this way. If you didn't mind to be seated just for a few minutes, it's later than usually is on Sunday nights, but we had a lot included in tonight, and I trust it was all a blessing to you. But I would like to meet with you, just a little family meeting, to just talk about a couple of agenda items for next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. If it holds true like it does in most years, it'll be one of the biggest attendances all year long of a church. You say, well, I don't think they ought to come only on Easter. I realize that, but God gave me a little insight on that today. I was getting a tea at McDonald's, and one of the ladies that that had talked to me before, I'd witnessed to her, and she saved, goes to another church, and she said, well, you won't see me next Sunday because I ask off. I'm going to be in church on Easter Sunday. And so sometimes it's not that everybody just decides they're going to come, they don't come the rest of the time. Sometimes they schedule themselves off work to do it. And so I praise the Lord for that. It gives me a little different insight. But if it holds true, like most resurrection days, Easter Sundays, then we'll have a wonderful crowd, and that's what we're praying for. But you know, we've been pretty full on regular Sundays, and so I want us to help accommodate that. Now, I've just given a couple different items here, action items that you think about. Number one, pray. Pray and invite. There's invite cards out there with Easter. They'll be useless after next Sunday. We'll be inviting people this Thursday night, inviting people in our immediate neighborhood right here. But take some of those invite cards and pray and invite. But then also pray. Pray that the Lord would clear people's schedules. Have men here. Pray for unsaved people to be here. Pray that people would be born again. I thank the Lord last Sunday. I didn't realize it until after Sunday was over, but we had three saved up in one of the children's churches. And so praise the Lord for that. And I would have reported to you last week had I known, but praise the Lord that God saved souls here in our services last week. But pray that God would give us souls for the labor, soul saved next week. Then secondly, after that, I'm going to invite you. I've been doing it the last couple of Sunday mornings during our campaign and parking over here in the new parking lot across the street from us. And if you're able to drop your family off over here, then go park over there. Save some of this parking for some guests and people that don't typically come. Then if you're not able to go over there, please don't. But if you're healthy and you can do that, park one car over there, then it'd be great. And then the third thing is seating. And you know, we've been blessed with a good crowds. We have a good crowd tonight. We're thankful for that. But just a couple of ideas that you might want to think about. And all these won't fit for everybody. You'll see why. Maybe try the balcony. If we all sit up there, there's not enough room. But maybe you get here early and you want to try the balcony. Get over on the sides where people, the guests, don't want to slide across people. But maybe try the balcony. And then, here's a big one. I've never been here when the front row was full. Of course, I've only been here for 2 years, so maybe it's going to happen one of these days. But this front pew is open. As a matter of fact, it should be the most padded pew in here because it's not been sat on yet. So you can come up here to the front. If you don't come to the front, then some of these other areas. And maybe you'd get here earlier. Maybe you get out of Sunday school early. Brother Steve and the other Sunday school classes, maybe just make sure that you dismiss on time to let people get to the places where they're needing to go. But if you're here early and you don't mind the extra weight, then slip on up here to the front. After the service is over, we don't do it much, but we want to start one of these days using this door that goes right down those half a flight of steps, and it goes out that entrance or that exit entrance and is close to that new parking lot over there. If you want to start using that, that'd be wonderful. But sit on up toward the front. And then all of us be on lookout for folks that need a seat. There's always, as I sit up here on the platform, it's always makes my heart sink when I see people come down the aisle and even ushers trying to get them, but there's not a seat there, there's not a seat there. So you all be on the lookout. Let's all be together on the lookout. If we see somebody, scoot in for them. Let them sit on that end. And I know you might be saying, well, I've got here 10 minutes early so I could get the end seat. Well, give it up. Give it up for them this time and say, oh, I'll scoot in or get out and let them in. Make it, what I'm saying is, whatever we can do to make it easy on them, maybe that's you standing up and helping them get their stuff in there. Just whatever we can do to help our guests and looking for people that need seat. And choir, I know that you probably, Brother Dan may have already mentioned this, we're going to ask the choir next Sunday morning to stay up. And I know it's not pleasant to stay up there while I'm here and you look at the back of my head, but it will help us as we try to accommodate the crowd for next Sunday morning. And choir, if you didn't mind doing that, and that way you'll come prepared to do that, and we won't have your stuff in pews, instead it'll be with you or wherever. And then the last one is this, Brother Kyle and some other children's workers will be over in the Family Life Center, first through sixth grade, will be over there for our 11 o'clock hour junior church, primary church combined, first through sixth grade. And if you're in some of those classes and you don't sing in the choir and you'd like to help Brother Kyle, I'm sure he'd appreciate the help. You say, well, I don't know what I'd do. Well, just go around there and be there for whatever he needs. I'm sure whoever's doing the message over there, it'll be a great lesson. And as I've said before, I've gotten under conviction in children's church plenty of times. Somebody's preaching there. I said, wow, that's good. That's real good. And so those are just some things that we can do to help us out next week. And we're looking forward to a great and mighty time that the Lord will give us a blessed resurrection Sunday morning. So as we head out, we're going to pray for God's blessings. We're going to look for God's blessings, and then we're going to rejoice when He gives them. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank You for letting us be in church together. Give us a wonderful night, we pray, and we'll thank You for all that You do. Now as you head out, folks, Brother Dan is out there with the winning team and his favorite candy bar, the yellow team. Brother Kyle will be up here with me in shame and despair. And then Amy will be back at the table. If you're ladies, I challenge you to sign up for that ladies' event. I believe it'd be a wonderful time. And may we all say at the end of the day, amen. Together, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.